I remember passing notes in elementary school, boyfriends leaving them for me in my locker in junior high, my grandmother and father sending me letters while I was away at summer camp. Hardly ever do I get that warm, fuzzy feeling when I open up my mailbox these days. It's a rarity to find a hand-addressed envelope inside. Call me a traditionalist, but it saddens me that kids will never get to see a love letter written by their grandfather to their grandmother, or see the handwriting of their mother when she was a young girl. That being said, but my thoughts and feelings aside, how will this affect the way that history is literally written? To find out, I visited with Tim Nutt, Director of Special Collections at the University of Arkansas.
The decrease in mail, physical mail, has really affected special collections and archives in general because, you know, that's one of our bread and butters, our letters that are being sent. That's one of the sort of the hallmarks of archival repositories. You know, and I often think, well, do people send email, love emails nowadays instead of love letters? And so it's going to be a long, it's going to have a long lasting effect on archives, probably for next 100, 200 years, or maybe in perpetuity.
Nutt is a self-proclaimed archivist at heart. As his department's name suggests, Special Collections has collections. From just one letter to 1,500 boxes of papers from Congressman John Paul Hammerschmidt. Anything that tells the story of Arkansas. And letters do make up a large part of what they have.
So a single letter, love letters, I mentioned love letters earlier, World War II letters, all sorts of letters. Maybe some at some point in the future they might have my love letters from the fifth grade here in Special Collections. But so in addition to the letters, there are photographs. We collect all different types of photographs. Again, documenting every aspect of Arkansas history, business ledgers, scrapbooks, anything that's going to really give a history of a city or a town or a person, a person's experience here at the University of Arkansas.
When they get materials, they conserve them to the best of their ability, which involves removing rusted staples or paper clips, putting them in acid-free folders and boxes, and sorted in a climate-controlled environment. For every collection, a guide is created. It helps researchers find what they're looking for. The U of A is the oldest academic archives in the state and has been collecting materials since 1967. They have approximately 40,000 linear feet of manuscripts. One would think that space with hard copies would be an issue, that a benefit to technology would be the ability to store things more compactly. But Nutt says that with electronic files, you have to have two copies of everything.
That's something that every archives in the country has to deal with now. You not only do you have to have the server capacity to store the files, in a perfect scenario, you're supposed to, archives are supposed to have the master file and then a service file. So patrons, people who come in and request those files, technically are never supposed to look at the master files. But very few archives have that capability. You know, server space is a big issue in archives across the country.
One would also think that an electronic copy would last longer than paper. But Nutt says an e-file actually takes more maintenance, and that paper is a lot more permanent, lasting for thousands of years. Electronic, if you don't pay attention to them, they'll go away in 5 years. As they go, so does our history.
You have to sort of involve that in your 5-year plan to look at all the electronic files that you have, make sure that they still open, they haven't degraded. With proprietary software such as Word or WordPerfect, you have to convert them to the software of the day, just so that you can make sure that you can still open them and they're still readable.
You don't get that warm, fuzzy feeling when looking at a screen.
It's a different feeling if you have a letter or a proclamation, something signed by a president, let's say Abraham Lincoln. You know, to be able to touch and to look at that document up close, it's different. And it gives you a sense of, a different sense of, I hate to say pleasure, but pleasure in looking at that physical item as opposed to just looking at it on a computer screen. I mean, it really brings you in touch with history.
And Nutt knows. He speaks of a recent trip to Europe and a visit to the National Archives of Liechtenstein, where he got to touch documents from the 1700s. He brings out some of the U of A collections for me to see and to touch. It's fascinating to me to see the handwriting of someone who lived over 150 years ago, to read their stories, what they thought was important enough to write down, important enough to tell someone else about. He pulls out a letter from the Halsey Pruden collection, one that goes from 1819 to 1838. Pruden lived near Benton and was a circuit preacher.
Here's one written 1832. This is Saline Crossing, Pulaski County, Arkansas Territory. So, "Dear brother, after a long voyage, I have arrived at home in good health, and I have brought Uncle, Aaron, that's what that is, home with me. I have been somewhat disappointed in not seeing you."
He pauses to study the writing.
"In Cincinnati, but I could not get Uncle Ebenezer to settle with me, and I shall have to go to Cincinnati again, but I am so busy in building my sawmill that I know not whether I can go next fall or not."
Aww. To save paper, this piece is folded so that it also serves as the envelope, with the address written on the reverse. Nutt says that reading letters from this time period is really a glimpse as to what it was like when Arkansas was being built. One of my favorites is from the Edward Parker collection, a Shaker in the early 1800s.
A little note says, "Dear Eliza," there's no date on this, "please accept this small token of remembrance from your affectionate friend and schoolmate." And there are little, sort of little seals, and on the back of one of them, let's see, what that one has a dove on it with a olive branch. That's an olive branch. And then on the back of it, it says, "When this you see, remember me." So it's a really sweet notion. And it sort of has a different connotation. If someone wrote that in an email, if you got an email and says, "When you see this, remember me," it doesn't sort of conjure up the warm feelings that you get when you see a physical item, the paper item, and where someone's actually taken the time to write on the back of it.
In email, there's a tendency to abbreviate. People can't take the time to write "laugh out loud" or "I don't know." When they do this, you lose the context. It becomes impersonal. Nutt says you don't get that connection with an email that you get with a letter. The tendency isn't to put as much effort into an email as with a letter. Boyd Logan, who owns Shindig Papery in Fayetteville with his wife, Trish, agrees that an email just isn't as personal, especially when writing about special occasions.
Whether it's an occasion that somebody's having, a death in the family or a tragedy they're experiencing or something like that, email just doesn't seem appropriate. Whenever I sit down to try to compose an email about something like that, it just feels impersonal by definition, even, which is weird because it's casual, so you'd think it'd feel more personal, but it really doesn't.
Logan uses technology. He does. But as an English teacher and a writer, when typing, his fingers often move faster than his thoughts.
And there's something about sitting down with a paper and pen and writing that I like the pace of, that it sort of reins my brain in a way and forces me to sort of think about things a little bit differently. And plus, you're setting it down permanently, and whereas you can't just go back and backspace and move things around. So it sort of forces a different way, your brain to think a little differently.
He and his wife, Trish, recently opened a paper shop. Sellers of custom stationery, invitations, and specialty paper. His wife worked in the greeting card industry for 9 years and saw a need for a specialty shop in Fayetteville. In this day of the email and e-vite, some could say it was a risky move to open a paper shop. Boyd says he talked to his wife a lot about this. He wondered if paper was dying. As a teacher, he kept hearing things about a paperless classroom. But he thinks people are getting back to a paper way of thinking.
We're seeing so much more, a lot of younger people actually that are embracing paper. It's almost like a throwback or a retro or something where they're re-embracing paper. And I mean, a lot of our customers are young people. It's not, and we do have some older customers as well that have always sent letters and used that. But we're seeing more people, young people. I think it's a reaction against the impersonality of technology.
Is it funny to think of letter writing as a retro thing? As for maintaining their history through paper, the Logans have scrapbooks and a box that contains greeting cards and letters that they just can't throw away. As does Tim Nutt, director of UA Special Collections. an archivist at heart and history buff, he has love letters written when he was in the fifth grade. But he doesn't just have one box.
I've always been really keen on keeping and sort of keeping a record of what's happened in my life. So in my at my house, every year I create a box for that for the previous year. I just finished with 2012, and I have I think maybe about 20 boxes of my own papers. And as stuff comes in, I keep a file folder, and as stuff comes in, I file it, and then at the end of the year, I file it away in boxes. And
though Nutt says he would like to see us get back to handwritten things, he says printing out important emails is a decent substitute in order to maintain a personal and general history. Anything that is significant or has details about life or an event. For Ozarks at Large, sincerely, Christina Thomas.